Good morning. Warm welcome to everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. It's great for all of us to be here together, and we will be blessed by being in this place on this day. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and Lent is the period of 40 days plus Sundays when we remember the time when Christ went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. It is a time of preparation for us hearts, our minds and our souls for the greatest event in the Christian year, which is Easter, when we celebrate the glorious resurrection. So first Sunday of Lent, and let me hand you over to Daniel. Thank
you. Good morning. Nice to see everybody here on time. I guess we'll know what happened when some people show up about 10 to 11. So I talked to Ian this morning about doing two services, one for the 10 o'clocks, one for the 11s. But it looks like most everybody's here, so thank you. Just to refer you to announcements on the back of the bulletin, a big thank you to all of those that help prepare, present, and clean up afterwards in the Pancake Supper on Tuesday. Out in the foyer, there's boxes in the foyer for self-denial gifts for the food bank, and this feeds the less fortunate. Please be generous as we express our gratitude to God for his grace to us. Mustard seed is this Wednesday, and this is a reminder. We were a little bit short, I guess, the last time with desserts, so if those of you that are providing all that, if you can make a few more, then we won't be that short this time. And Easter choir, we're hoping that we're going to have enough people to come out for the choir Easter services, and that's going to start, and you've got lots of warning, Monday the 28th, for those of you that so desire to do that. Kathy, you have an announcement.
I see all you ladies out there. Tomorrow morning, we're getting together in the kitchen and the nursery to do a good cleaning. Now, this is organized by the Ladies Christian Fellowship, but we want to make sure that all you ladies out there are aware of it. You're welcome to come and join us. We'll have lots of fun and we'll get lots of work done. Tomorrow at 9:30.
Thank you, Kathy. I have one other announcement. This is just, as I was thinking about this over the week, obviously, with the devastation and things that are going on in Japan. In Chinook's Edge School Division, there are 22 students that are Japanese exchange students. And over the years, we've had a lot of Japanese exchange students. And I know Mike Farker has hosted one of the Japanese exchange students. And they're from, and I think of, I don't remember all of their names, but I do remember their faces. And add them to your prayers. There's quite a few of them they come from. And I think the whole island is absolutely in disarray right now. So think about them. Also, there's a teacher in our school, grade 4 teacher, Dan Mulheron. His son was in northern Japan. At the time, was in a bus. They were on their way to, he's a hockey player, and was on his way, and during the day, I know he was having a pretty tough day, but at the end of the day, he did get some information that his son was safe. They did make it to a building, not much left of the building, but he is safe. So let's just continue to pray for these people. And are there any other announcements? No. Now, Mike Robertson has a video about his trip, and it's good to see you back safe.
Morning. I'm not sure if I can fully describe. I could spend hours and hours and hours describing what went on down there. But I need only say this. It is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It is one of the places with the most kind people I've ever been. And the worst problems you can imagine, and then multiply that right next door to the most beautiful things and the most kind people. I think it affected all of us deeply, and God literally, and I don't use the word lightly, performed a miracle in front of me. Most of the cameras, or most of the pictures you will see, were taken by my camera. That was my role on the trip, was to take pictures of the kids in action and all of us doing the work, because I wasn't supervising the kids, they were teaching. So, but God took it away, and God gave it back in ways that cannot be explained rationally. And I have a full story if you want that too later. But in the meantime, pictures are worth thousands of words. And so I give you the presentation.
Lord, I wanna feel your heart, see the world.
Our thanks to Mike, not only for his trip to Colombia and the young people who went with him, and we know that they went there for a purpose. They went there to share the word of the Lord with the people of that country, and I know Mike was quite moved by the whole thing in talking to him, and we thank you for sharing it. If you want to know more, you know the guy, he's right there, and he'll tell you whatever you want to hear. He'd be happy to share it with you. Thank you, Mike. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. The Lord Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.' It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" We worship the Lord our God, first of all, with our approach choruses. I invite Kathy to come up and lead us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with Garment of Praise. So please stand. We'll sing Garment of Praise. We'll do this twice through. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Ah, that was great. And we're going to sing Greater Love. This is The next two are sort of preparation for our Lenten season. I'm a long way from the musicians, so we're communicating by telepathy here. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You took my burden shamelessly, paid my debt for eternity. Wandering of your love for me has become life's greatest mystery. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That you would come from heaven above, offer free your priceless love, that God's own Son would come and die to make a way for such as I. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And to prepare our hearts for worship, we'll sing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve.
heart, O God, that I might serve you. Let's sing it again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. So fill me and heal me and bring me back to you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you.
Thank you, Kathy. I just maybe thought I should give you a little update here. If any of you are wondering, Don and Marge McKinnon went to Hawaii, and they were scheduled to be back late on Friday evening. Well, you know, the tsunami that resulted from the earthquake in Japan hit Hawaii on Friday, but they are home. They spent the night before they were due to come home up all night because they had to be packed ready to evacuate should the need occur. They didn't need to evacuate, fortunately. They did get back. They got back around about, they went to bed, I think, around about 3 o'clock on Friday morning. And then the funeral that we had yesterday here at the church for Diane Davies, that was Donnie's sister, and they were here, and we put the clocks, we messed around with the clocks last night, and I guess all of that results in the fact that Donnie and Marge are not here, but they are safe. They are home, they are safe, and we're happy that, and I thought I'd just better let you know, because if anyone was wondering, where are the McKinnons? They're probably snoring. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Father, that you have called us each and every one to come together on this your day, in this your house, this our blessed place of worship. And we know, gracious Father, when we come into this place that we are immediately surrounded by your love. We have handshakes, we have smiles, we have your love just overflowing all over us and around us. And we thank you, Father. We pray, Lord, that you will bless any of our church family who are not here today, wherever they may be. We pray, Lord, that they may know that we care for them, we love them, and we miss them at this time. Open our hearts, Lord. Speak to each and every one of us, and we pray that you accept the praise and the worship we bring. For we come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the women saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, if you join me in the responsive reading, which comes from Psalm 32. Our God, you bless everyone whose sins you forgive and wipe away. You bless them by saying, "You told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now I forgive you." So I confessed my sins and told them all to you. I said, "I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins." Then you forgave me and took away my guilt.
We
You said to me, "I will point out the road that you should follow. I will be your teacher and watch over you. Don't be stupid like horses and mules that must be led with ropes to make them obey. All kinds of troubles will strike the wicked, but your kindness shields those who trust you, Lord. And so you, good people, shall celebrate and shout."
I think it's at the back end of this week that we start with our photographs. Is that right, Wilma? Where are you? Photographs this week? Okay. So don't forget, if you've got your name down, we start Thursday, I think it is, and then on to Friday and on through there. If you haven't got your name down, see Wilma. We want everyone in the church directory. And the reason that we're doing it is because if you look at our current directory or look at some of the pictures on our picture board in the hall there, you will see that... Well, they're not quite accurate. I mean, the Nixons have a little girl who's about that tall. And we're delighted that that little Nixon girl is going to be singing for us now. And that little Nixon girl is now a young lady. And we are delighted that she is going to present for us some special music. And I think it's entitled "Climbing Up the Mountain." Thank you, Claire.
I'm climbing up the mountain, children, gotta reach my heavenly home. I'm climbing up and working harder, Lord, don't ever leave me alone. Can't you see I'm trying to make it each day? Even though trials pass my way, I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. Oh, brother, won't you help me? 'Cause the road is rough, the mountain is steep, and the going gets tough. But when I see him face to face, I'm gonna shout all over the place. I'm climbing up the mountain, children, gotta reach my heavenly home. I'm climbing up and working harder, Lord, don't ever leave me alone. Can't you see I'm trying to make it each day? Even though trials pass my way, I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. Oh, sister, won't you help me to carry the load over the hard and rocky road? When I arrive, he'll wipe my tears away. It's gonna be a happy day, a happy day. I'm climbing up the mountain, children. Gotta reach my heavenly home. I'm climbing up and working harder. Lord, don't ever leave me alone. Can't you see I'm trying to make it each day? Even though trials pass my way, I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on
Thank you, Claire. Good job. My word. You know, Dan was going to sing that, but it was just, there was only one note in that song that stopped him. Good job, Claire. Thank you so very, very much. You see why we need to have our pictures retaken. I mean, her picture's not on that wall. There's a little girl about that. Thank you so much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Would the children like to come and join me, please? Thank you. Okay. We are going to play Simon Says. Okay, you know how to play that? If Simon says you do something, you do it. And if Simon doesn't say it, if I just say it, then you don't do it. Are you ready? Everybody. Simon says, put your hand in the air. Put the other one up. Uh-oh. Simon says, put your hands down. Now, let me give you the rules to this again. If Simon says do it, you do it. And if Simon doesn't say it, you don't do it. Are you ready? Simon says, put your hand up. Put your other one up. Simon says, put your hands down. Are you ready? Simon says, flap your elbows. Simon says, clap your hands. Simon says, touch your nose. Pull your ear. It's a good game, isn't it? You only do what Simon says. But in real life, what you do is what the Bible says and what Jesus tells you to do, okay? Do what the Bible tells you to do. That's what life is about. Because in that game, well, I tried to trick you, didn't I? Tried to get tricky into doing things you're not supposed to do. And in life, that's what the devil does. The devil tries to trick us into doing things that we're not supposed to do. And in our scripture readings today, that's what we learn about. Even Jesus, the devil tried to trick Jesus into doing things that he wasn't supposed to do, that God didn't want him to do. But Jesus didn't give in to the devil. He stood strong. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to do what the Bible tells us to do, okay? And our parents and our Sunday school teachers will all try to teach us to do what the Bible tells us to do. That's what we have to do, okay? Not what Simon says, but what Jesus says. Shall we pray? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you that by the precious Word of God in the Bible, we read what you want us to do in life. Help us always to do that and only that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Coming. Okay. I was thinking of a little song. It's not quite like Simon Says, but it requires us to follow each other. You follow me, okay? And it goes start slowly, and we're going to speed up. So you think you can do that? Okay. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide.
Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
I have a little cookie this morning, and I don't know if I can do this. Okay, we're going to speed up, ready? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Oh, come on. Ready?
We are thankful for Kathy's energy. It's good to watch. Thank you, Kathy. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 560, For the Beauty of the Earth. We sing verses 1, 3 and 5. In that little hymn that we were singing there, we were remembering many of the things, the blessings that we have from God, many of the things that we are so thankful for, many of the things that we so very often take for granted. I was talking to Gwen and Mick are back from their little time in Victoria, and Gwen said to me, "Oh, it's nice to come home. It's nice to come home." And it's when we're away from the norm that we start to appreciate the norm for what it is. We're away from our church home and our church family, and I know that Mick and Gwen always tell me that it's always nice to come back to your home and to your home church family. It is good to be here. I was thinking about what's been happening in Japan, and I think the people of Japan must have, you know, everything's normal one day. They're living in a place of beauty, and then within a few hours, the world is crashing down amongst them. The pictures that we saw on the television were unbelievable. The disaster that occurred, the lives that are lost, the people that are missing, the injuries, and our hearts just go out to these people, to the people of that country, and the people who have friends and relatives there. You know, it's terrible. It is absolutely terrible. And when we try to pray about something like this, what do you say? What do you say? And that's why we're thankful that within the Word of God in Romans chapter 8, we are told that when we don't know what to say, the Spirit takes the prayers that sit in our hearts and in our minds that we can't quite put into words, and it takes those prayers and it presents them before the throne of God. The Holy Spirit does that for us, and we are so thankful. What do you say? What do you say at a time like this? How do you put into words what's in your heart and in your soul? You know, the anguish that we feel for the suffering of these people. We praise God that we have the gift of the presence of His Spirit with us and working for us and presenting our petitions before the Lord's throne of grace. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, once again, Father, we enter the 40 days of Lent, and we ask that you will help us to remember that our very beginnings are in you, and that it is your desire that our endings also be in you. We remember that our journey in life began in a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden, that we were created to dwell with you in your eternal kingdom. And Lord God, we also remember, as we enter Lent, the journey that our Lord Jesus travelled for our sake on the road that led him to the cross. We confess, Father, that it was for our sins that he died, and we rejoice that it is for our salvation that he rose again from the grave to life. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Create in us a clean heart and put a new and right spirit within us. And so we ask you, Father, that during this time of Lent, that you will grant us open hearts and open minds, open to your guiding word and open to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Help us to see and to hear and to do those things that you ask of us. We ask you, Father, to bless this day all around us who walk in darkness and are unable to see the light of your glory. We pray especially, Lord, for those whom we know of who struggle in life and are in need of your peace, the blessed peace of your Spirit within them. We pray also, Father, for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. And in the silence of our hearts, Father, we whisper their names before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. Holy Father, as we think of those people who are in need at this time, our hearts are very much with the people of Japan. This terrible tragedy that has befallen them. And we can't find the words, Lord, to say how we feel in our hearts for these poor people. We know, gracious Father, that you bring good out of every situation. And I know, Father, we know that the people of Japan will find great difficulty in looking around them at this time and seeing what possible good could come. But we know, gracious Father, that you perform mighty miracles, especially in times of need. And we pray, blessed Father, that your healing hand may be upon this country, may it be upon these people. That you will touch their hearts, touch their lives. And we pray, gracious Father, that your miracle for them may be a miracle of peace in their land, in their hearts, in their minds. Just bless these people, Lord, and love them as only you can do. We thank you, Father, once again for our church, for our church family, and for the joy that we experience as we fellowship together. Show us, Lord, how we can share this wonderful joy that you give to us with all people. Bless all people, Lord, who join us, who come through these doors, and may each and every one of us, Lord, be filled with your Spirit, that we may share that wonderful joy that you give to us so freely with other people. And Father, as we prepare our hearts for a new week, we have in our minds the trials and the temptations that our Lord Jesus went through in the desert wilderness. Holy Father, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Grant us the power and the protection of your glorious presence during this week ahead. Watch over all of those who are dear to us. Bless our homes and grant us your peace in all that we do. Help us, Father, as we seek to bring honor and glory to the blessed name of Jesus. And may we be worthy disciples to all of those, Lord, whom we meet. We ask you, Father, to hear these our prayers, for we come to you and we bring them in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The Gospel is from St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. And the epistle is Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, and over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of the righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous.
Thanks to Dan for those readings from the scriptures. He read them very well. That one from Romans is a tricky piece of scripture, and you really need to read it a few times to absorb it. I recommend that at some stage during the week that you read again that portion of scripture from Romans, and hopefully it will it becomes to mean more as you read it slowly and digest it. But you did a great job there, Dan. Thank you. And now we stand and again we sing to the glory of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In our hymn books, this hymn only has two verses. We're going to sing three verses, because the third verse is the verse that is applicable to what we're talking about today, to Jesus being in the wilderness and tempted by the devil. We stand and we sing to God's glory. We made a bit of a mess of that one. But the third verse is, man shall not live by bread alone, which is what we're talking about here. But anyway, you got the message. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the late 1980s and in the 1990s, it became fashionable for young Christians to wear bracelets with the letters WWJD on them. They also wore t-shirts and hats and sweaters, and they carried bags and so on, all bearing the letters WWJD. For anyone who does not know what WWJD means, it means, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? The idea being that when we have to make some decisions, some considerations in our lives, the bracelet or the t-shirt or whatever it is we're wearing reminds us that we are Christians, we belong to Christ, and the decisions that we make should be based on Christian thinking. It's a good idea. Although we could never really know what the Lord Jesus Christ would do in any given situation. Jesus was a bit of a radical, and he did and said things which were outside of the norm. But it's a good idea because it encourages Christian thinking. The WWJD idea, however, goes back a lot further than the 1980s and 90s. It first emerged 114 years ago in 1897. A small town pastor from Topeka, Kansas, Charles M. Sheldon, following a series of sermons in his church, produced a small book entitled In His Steps. In His Steps. And this book was a kind of a summary of this series of sermons that he'd been preaching. This book apparently is still available and has currently sold over 30 million copies, and it ranks at number 39 in the best-selling books of all time, In His Steps. But the original and the full name of the book is In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? So WWJD has been around for a long, long time. One of the shortest sermons ever recorded, which you will not be getting today, consisted of the preacher going into the pulpit and quoting the first part of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And it says, "The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death." And to this he added, "There has been no change in the rate of pay." Amen. And he left the pulpit. You're probably thinking, great sermon. Preach that one. But it's not fashionable for preachers to talk about sin and about temptation. But this is where the readings set by the lectionary for today are all directing us to. From the Old Testament, we've got the story of the fall of mankind, of Adam and Eve, the serpent and the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And when we look at our world, when we see the seemingly never-ending conflict that goes on around the Middle East, around many countries of the world, when we see some of the depressing things that go on, not just around the world, but even on our doorstep in our own cities, it's so easy to believe that this is a fallen world. Then in the epistle reading from St. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, Paul is speaking about sin and about redemption. He's speaking about Adam and about Christ. And God, through St. Paul, is telling us that even though, yes, this is a fallen world, everything will become okay. Everything will be okay. Why? Because God in Christ loves us. He loves us so much, and he just waits to forgive us. He waits to forgive the repentant, and he loves and he wants to make all things new and whole. That's what it's about. Read it yourself again. And then in our gospel reading from St. Matthew, from Matthew chapter 5, we hear about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. This story is a well-known one in which simple symbols from everyday life represent some very significant issues. You will recall that Jesus had been baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin John the Baptist, and God had confirmed to Jesus, "This is my son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus came out of the Jordan, and you could say he was on what we might call a spiritual high. And he is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And after a long period of fasting, he's hungry. as any of us would be. And Jesus sees stones lying on the floor of the desert. And you can just imagine him looking at them and thinking, boy, they just remind me of bread buns lying there. They just look like bread rolls. Can you imagine if you're really hungry and you see that? And wow. And then a thought pops into his head. I have the power. I have the power to change those stones into bread buns. If I wanted to. Just a thought flitting through the mind. And that is how Satan, the tempter, works. We don't see a great big horned creature in front of us with a pitchfork and flames coming out of his mouth. It's usually just a little thought that goes flitting through the mind. And many people succumb to the temptation to misuse power. Whatever power you've got in your life, the temptation is to misuse it. The power of who we are and what we are. And as Jesus stayed in the wilderness, his thoughts almost certainly would have been about who he was and what his mission was. This had been confirmed to him. How was he to go about winning the hearts and the minds of the people who he had been sent to win over, to save? And as he looked out from some high place, perhaps his thoughts wandered to the temple in Jerusalem. And he maybe visualized himself standing at the highest point of the temple, and God's holy scripture comes into his mind, Psalm 91 verse 11. And this scripture says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Jesus was familiar with the scriptures. They would be going through his mind. And just a thought flits through his mind. You know how it does. Wouldn't it be spectacular? You would think, if I went off the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and God's angels came swooping down and protected me and lifted me up, as scripture says they will, that would draw people from miles, and they will come and they will glorify God in a mighty way. Just a thought flitting through the mind. That's how the subtle and crafty devil works, suggesting a shortcut to whatever it is we're aiming for in our lives. The devil suggests the shortcut, the cut that is without the salvation for us, which is what Jesus was aiming for. He was here to bring salvation to us, and the devil offered the shortcut: no salvation. And Jesus would almost certainly have reflected upon the road that lay ahead of him. The road that was to take him to a torturer's death by crucifixion on a cross. Jesus knew. Jesus was God with us. He knew what was ahead of him. It's got to be an easier way, he would probably think. And he may have thought, surely we can achieve similar objectives without going through that. Just thoughts flitting through the mind. Thoughts of an easier life. Thoughts of a different kind of a partnership than the one that was presented before Jesus. A partnership perhaps with the devil. All of this can be yours. Without that cross, without that crucifixion, without that suffering and that torture, you can have all of this. WWJD, what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And you know, at some time in our lives, every one of us has been tempted to do something that we've got reservations about, not just sure about it, just a thought flitting through the mind. And sadly, we don't always recognize this for what it is. This is the devil. This is the subtle temptations of the crafty devil who creeps around, tempting us in very subtle ways that we do not recognize. It's always the easier way. It's always a shortcut. I'm sure you've all seen and probably enjoy the television commercials for Staples. You know the easy button? You want to get something done, you just press the easy button and boom, it happens. Quiets down the kids in their commercials and all kinds of things. Well, the easy button is a good representation of the devil's temptations to each and every one of us. You have a problem, reach for the easy button, the devil says. But recognize that easy shortcut for what it is and who it is. This is evil, this is the devil, and this is the temptations of the devil. Let us learn from Jesus. You know, one of the first things that occurs to me is that Jesus knew that he would face temptation. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He knew. He knew what was coming. And so Jesus was prepared for it. He knew he would be tempted. He was prepared for it. And when the devil comes to Jesus, Jesus is not taken by surprise. The way he answers the devil without any hesitation suggests that he was expecting this attack and he was ready for it and he was prepared for it. What does this say to you and I? Expect to be tempted by the devil. He will tempt you. He will. Be prepared for it. And it's not bad and it's not wrong to be tempted. For we can see that even the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. And of course, it is giving in to temptation that is wrong. Jesus was tempted. You will be tempted. Certainty, you will be tempted. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he answered him by quoting Scripture, the Word of God. Jesus knows God's Word, and it is God's Word that gives him strength and it gives him help to resist temptation. God's word will strengthen you against any temptation that may come your way. Any temptation. There is power in the word of God which evil cannot deny. The more of God's word that you read, the stronger will come your faith and your resolve to do God's will. And no, you are not expected to memorize this whole book. You're not expected to do that. God doesn't expect us to do that. But the more you read it, it will be absorbed into the very fiber of your being. It will become part of your foundations of life. And when problems come your way, when tough times come your way, when temptation comes your way, Scripture just pops into your mind. That's how God works. The power of God's word, it just pops into your mind. But you've got to read it. You've got to become familiar with it for this to happen. This is our source of strength. This is the power of God's word working in people's everyday lives. You will have a strong and a resilient foundation. Thor, T-H-O-R, is the legendary Norse god of thunder. And one legend says that one day Thor visited the land of giants. And when he arrived, he found that the giants were having various contests of strength. Well, as giants would. And he was asked if he would like to join in. And he said he would. And so they proposed for him three tests of strength. First, he was asked to drink the liquid contents of a large two-handled bowl. He thought to himself, well, that's pretty simple. But he found that as much of the liquid that he drank, the level of the liquid in the bowl never went down. And he tried and he tried and he drank and he drank and finally put it down and he admitted defeat. He kind of felt that the giants seemed sympathetic and they proposed something for him which would be a little bit easier. A black cat was walking by and Thor was instructed to pick up the black cat. So he grabbed hold of the animal, thinking this would be easy, tried to hoist the thing up, but strain and tug as hard as he couldn't even begin to budge that cat. By now, the giants were beginning to be openly amused by Thor's predicament. "We thought you were strong," they said, "but it seems that you are not. Tell you what, we'll give you something even easier for your third test. So for the third test, the giants challenged Thor to wrestle with an old woman who was passing by, wrestle with this old lady and throw her to the ground. And he thought, wow, no problem. And so with every bit of strength that he could muster, he grabbed hold of this toothless old lady. But all of his pushing and pulling and twisting and turning was all in vain. He could not meet the challenge. He could not wrestle her to the ground. So feeling humbled and dejected, Thor left the giants and headed home. One of the giants walked a little way with him and told him that there was some magic going on here in these contests. And he told him that bowl, for example, contained the sea. Who could drink the sea? The cat was all the evil in the world. Who is able to lift that up? And the old woman is time. Who is able to contend with her? And sometimes when it comes to the sin that is in our fallen world, we consider ourselves and what we're like as Christians up against it. We kind of feel like we're living in a world of giants. What can I do? What can I do to try and cleanse this world, to try and do my part in making this a better world? It is tempting to give in and do nothing. WWJD. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He would not misuse the gifts and the power that God had given to him. He would not take a shortcut to popularity. He would not enter the wrong kind of a partnership with the wrong kind of person or persons. You know, there are some funny signs around in the world, and we come across many of them on the internet. And some of these funny signs are the result of foreign countries having difficulty translating their message into English. And one such sign was at the entrance to a hotel swimming pool on the French Riviera. And it reads like this: swimming is forbidden in the absence of a saviour. We can see what they mean. But maybe whoever put up that sign knew English better than we might suppose. Next time you are tempted to do something that you are not sure about, that you're not quite sure about, don't try to live your life in the absence of a saviour. Never mind swimming. It's like swimming in a great big world of sin. Remember, you have a saviour. WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He would think about what the Bible says about whatever it is he's fighting in his mind. What does the Bible tell him? And he would do what God wanted him to do. Not what everybody else around him wanted him to do. What does God want me to do? And Jesus would do the right thing, even when it's not always the easiest thing. And for Jesus and for his amazing examples of what we should do in life, we say thanks be to God. Amen. Our closing hymns, we sing first of all the hymn 535, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We stand and sing to his glory.
Do not care.
12 to be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. To be God's people,
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen.